Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the A New Day Show. And I am so excited this morning to be saying happy, happy, happy new year and welcome to 2010. This is Dynamic Daphne, the Queen of the Empowered Soul. And as usual, I am broadcasting out of New Milford this morning. And thank you all so very much for the overwhelming response to last week's segment of part one of Positioning for Relaunch. Thank you for the emails and thank you for the phone calls. You ask for more information and I have that for you this morning. I'm very excited about the segment this morning. I'm super excited about the experts that we have lined up for you this morning because we have three of America's most amazing entrepreneurs on the panel this morning, and they will be sharing for you some of the pointers that helps them to become successful and some key points that will help you to relaunch for 2010. Hodge, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Daphne?
I am wonderful. And Cheryl, how are you?
I am fantastic. Thank
good.
You.
Good. Well, happy new year to each and every one of you.
Same to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, Hodge, I'm going to make an Oreo cookie out of you this morning.
Okay.
I'm going to have Cheryl introduce herself. Then I want to slap you bum in the middle. And then I'll ask Kathy to do her introduction afterwards. So, Cheryl, would you please introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Well, good morning to everyone and happy new year. My name is Cheryl Broussard. I'm a financial, I'm going to call myself a financial strategist and an entrepreneur, written several books on money and starting your own business. I've been in the business world for about 25 years, and I'm excited to be on this call today to talk to you, particularly about entrepreneurship in the year 2010. I'm excited about 2010. And Daphne, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be on your program.
You are so welcome, Cheryl. Hodge.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and also a happy New Year's. And again, my name is Hodge Flemings. I'm a personal brand strategist. I wrote a book called The Brand New Life, Rethinking Who You Are Through Personal Brand Management. And I run an organization called Brand Camp University, and we run a conference. And so I'll typically talk to different companies like Disney, professional athletes, about branding and about things that their employees can use in terms of being brand ambassadors and those things. So I look forward to sharing today.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Miss Kathy.
Well, I first have to say I am so excited to be in such great company. I think you have a fantastic combination of skills and experience here on this call. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill, and I'm probably the baby in the group when it comes to being an entrepreneur, but I'm probably the oldest in the group when it comes to actually having corporate experience. I was in corporate America for 28 years, and I was earning in excess of $250,000, and I walked away from that career because I was not maximizing my potential. I did not like it, and I wanted to live by design, and I wanted to live according to what I was put on this earth to do, my purpose. And that's what I left corporate America to teach, how people can discover their passion, discover their purpose, and actually implement it into their lives. So I have been actually living my purpose for just a short two-year period. But I tell you, this has been the most marvelous ride these last couple of years, actually living what I was put on this earth to do instead of going by someone else's design. So my book is entitled Emotional Bailout, 9 Principles for Rising When Your World is Falling. And, of course, it's based on a lot of my own experience, letting money rule me, allowing money and that corporate job to run my life, which we should not do. So I am here to help people discover their purpose and passion. I also have a radio show on Blog Talk. It's entitled Living by Design. So I'm telling everyone who's listening, if you didn't live by design in 2009, you can start over again in 2010.
All
and we're
right.
here to help you do that.
All right. Thank you so very much. You know, it is always a blessing to have the listeners warm up to my experts and to let them hear from the horse's mouth, if you may, the journey you have traveled. Because a lot of times when you hear somebody else reading someone's bio, you figure, oh, that's a whole lot of hype. But when you hear it from the individual's mouth, you understand, hey, if they can travel that journey, so can I. So
right.
Before I get into all of that wonderful information, I want to remind the listeners that you can call in, and the number to call is 646-915-8166. And whenever you have a question, you call in, I'm going to ask you to address the expert that your question is for. Remember, we have Mr. Hodge Flemings, we have Miss Cheryl Burchard, and we have Mrs. Kathy Holloway Hill. And how this will work, you'll pose your question to the experts. They will answer, and I'm sure one of the other experts will have something that they would like to add to their comments or remark, and I will certainly allow them to do that. And I welcome the people in the chat room as well. And for those of you who want to ask your questions via the chat room, please type it. I'll be going back and forth on the chat room, and I'll see whether my producer is signed on. She resides in another state, and sometimes her schedule doesn't allow her to come on. So if she's on, it's going to be a blessing. If not, I will do my best to get your questions from the chat room to my experts. So, without any further delay, I want to go into the task at hand this morning, positioning for a relaunch. I am sure that my three experts will affirm with me that too often people hold on to the past instead of letting go so that they can soar for higher things. And that's the thought process that really brought these two segments on. We need to let go and let God, and we need to let go and move on. Anybody have any comments or remark on the statement that I just made?
Well, this is Kathy Holloway Hill, Daphne, and as you heard me state, I was stuck. And I felt like I was stuck in a career and I was a slave to income. And when we focus our attention and our efforts around money and monetary things, stuff, possessions, we're not going to get anywhere in our lives. You know, they say there's a saying, and I'm sorry, I don't know whose saying this is. I need to give people credit for their quotes. But there's a quote out there that goes, money can't buy happiness, but it certainly can rent it for a while. And that is oh so true, because it's not going to last forever. It's going to keep you happy for a while, but it's not going to last until you find why you're here. Figure out why you're here on this earth and what life is all about. You're just going to be wandering around aimlessly.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Adding value. Adding value. Any of the other two experts want to bear in on this?
Yeah, hi, this is Cheryl, and I agree with you, Daphne, in that everyone needs, at this point, you know what, I feel like we have a new slate to start a fresh start, and so whatever happened last year or the year before that, don't worry about it. It's over. It's done. Forget about it. You know, whether you lost your job or whether you had problems with your, you know, your home, none of that matters anymore. And I think I want to tell everyone that now is the time to start over. You've got plenty of opportunity out there today. And just move forward and keep your eyes on the prize and stay focused. That's the thing that people have to remember. You've got to stay focused. And as Kathy just said, you know what, find your passion. And then you stay focused on that passion, and you do not worry about the money, because the money will come.
That's
when you're doing what your purpose, and when you're living in your purpose, that money will come. And she is so right. When you get caught up in the money and all the material stuff, you get it's so easy to get off track. And I think that's what happened to us over these last 10 years, that we all got caught up in the whole money and material thing, and now look at what happened. So let that all go. It's over and done with. Let's move forward.
Isn't it amazing how faithful and generous the universe is? When we do what God has ordained us to do, the universe compensates us. We don't have to worry about the compensation. Just walk in what God ordained us to do. And as you say, the money and the blessing is going to come. Hajj, do you want a bearing on here?
Yes, I do. One of the things that I believe in is not living life in the rearview mirror. And even regardless of what 2009 for, because for some people, they had a great 2009, and that's great. But just because you had a great 2009 doesn't mean, does not mean that your 2010 will be great. It doesn't happen automatically. And then for those who had a year where they want to kind of move on, the great thing about a new year, there's nothing magical about turning from, you know, December 31st to January 1. But I think when you start the year off, it gives people another opportunity to kind of reassess, kind of regauge, and refocus for the year. And so I think it's always good that, you know, that it's that when the year starts off, truly, what are some of the new habits that we can create? Obviously, if we want to get different results, we're going to have to do something different. It's insanity to keep doing the same thing and expect to get a different result. So I think what we have to do, that we really have to look at where do we want to go, establish some goals, and then really look to making some changes that are going to take us to the next level of whatever business, whatever industry, whatever area that you want to dominate in. It's not just about just being somewhere, but I'm talking about being the very best at what you do. Because those are the people that climb to the top. And again, it's already been pointed out that, you know, not following after money. But I believe that when you're the best at what you do, and that when you are finding out what your passion is and you live your passion, those are the people, the Bill Gates, the Steve Jobs, that rise to the top of their industry. They didn't pursue money. They pursue what they love doing, and what it did is it propelled them to greatness.
That's right. You know, on April, between April the 22nd and 25th, I am hosting my first vision conference. And I'm so certain that the Lord puts that on my spirit, because there are so many people who are stuck in their goals. and they get so frustrated and depressed about not accomplishing the goals. And Spirit showed me that the reason this is happening is because people's wires are crossed where their vision and their goals are concerned. And if you have no clarity of vision, you will never achieve or accomplish your goals. And this is what we are all talking about here. For each of us, it's different. But we have to understand the attitude that we have about what it is we want in life and just get all that so clear in our heads that we eat it, we sleep it, we taste it, you wake up in the middle of the night. You can mm-hmm. just roll off your tongue what your vision is all about. And you know your calling and your purpose. And when you have all those things aligned, there is nothing that can stop you.
And Daphne.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Kathy. I just wanted to make one comment about, you said something about the universe a bit ago, and I just wanted to comment about that before we move off of that piece.
Mm-hmm.
I want all our listeners to understand that the universe is actually our teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And what it offers us is impermanence, growth, and change.
Mm-hmm.
And resistance to this knowledge. If you don't understand this, when you resist it, that's what leads to suffering, and accepting it leads to inner peace.
That's right. That's right.
All our experiences have meaning. There's meaning behind everything that we experience in life.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of it is to direct us toward a higher truth. There are no failures. There are only lessons, and there's
that's
no
right.
blame. It's
That's
only
right.
redemption. So
That's
if
right.
people could understand that simple truth, that there is a reason and a purpose, and the universe is trying to give you the lessons you need, it's not about you being hurt and being in a painful situation. It's a lesson for you to learn.
That's right. And mm-hmm. isn't it amazing when we learn that lesson? You know, we just, universe just move us along because you learn
right.
the lesson. So
right.
the longer you take to learn it, is the longer you're going to be stuck in the pain.
Exactly.
Right. I agree. And I know even for myself, you know, I can recall a couple of years ago when I was going through major changes in my own business, and I kept fighting it. I was doing what Kathy said. I was resisting it because I wanted it to stay the same. But what I realized was that the universe wanted me to make a change. And finally, when I sat down and I really got honest with myself, then I was able to say, oh, well, maybe this is what I'm not supposed to do anymore. I'm supposed to do something else. And once I got really honest and real, then I was able to move forward. And you know, it's so much better now. But she's so right. We stay in that resistance. And it was painful. I kept thinking, what's wrong with me? Am I a failure? And I know many of us go through that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said there are no failures, only lessons.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hodge, when you started out in your area, because I know Brandon is kind of new to some entrepreneurs. They hear the word Brandon and they say, oh, that's not for me. That's for the big corporations and everything. But when you started out on this quest to empower and educate and inspire us as entrepreneurs around the area of branding, what were some of the resistance you encountered?
Well, again, I think, you know, it was a term that people didn't quite understand. And I think it's also a space that's evolving. Because, again, we've always looked and understood brands that we purchase. Like everyone has products or has services that they buy. Like I like Starbucks, so I'll go and I'll spend money on Starbucks. I'll spend almost $5 for a cup of coffee on Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you just look at the raw ingredients that go into Starbucks, the coffee isn't necessarily the cup of coffee. Well, no, we're buying into an idea. We're buying into an experience. Mm-hmm. And people and businesses experience us every single day, and or they make decisions to or not to based on what they know about us. And the more comfortable that they are with us as commodities or as not as commodities, but as brands, what happens is that it can create opportunities for us. And so as I began to go down that path, what I began to see is that it took an educational process in terms of people seeing themselves that way and then being confident in what they bring to the table. Every brand has some type of value or something that they offer. So every person has something that they bring to the table, but it's really getting people to understand, okay, what am I created to do? What is my value proposition? What is it that I bring to the table that I can do better than anyone else that I could then package so that now I can really position myself as being an authority in that space. And then if it's something that I'm doing, this is not a hobby. So it's not something that we just do just for fun. But also if it is something that I'm good at, something that I have a passion for, if I can connect my passion to somebody else's problem and also understand the business model behind it, then there's a way for me to be able to make a living from it. So it's really getting people to see themselves and to understand that there's a business model behind them not only having a brand, but them being able to implement some of the principles that we'll talk about later.
Well, I just wanted to add to what you just said. I mean, I'm not a branding expert, but I just know from the experience I've learned in the few years I've been out here as an entrepreneur that we're all a brand.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't understand how that whole branding and that niche thing works. So I know that's probably a lot of what you explain to people and work on, too, that they're already a brand. They just need to formulate that into a message to get out to the people.
And you know, that is something very important you just said, Kathy. But from talking with, speaking with large numbers of entrepreneurs, I think mediocrity is what holds them hostage to not accepting that they are a brand. They see themselves as, oh, yeah, no, this is just poor little me. You know, I'm not sophisticated enough. I'm not this. I'm not that enough. So they hold themselves hostage to mediocrity instead
right.
of, you know, escalating and soaring to the higher heights. So that's a very important point you put. Cheryl, you have any thing you want to add to that?
Well, no. I mean, I totally agree with what, you know, everyone is saying. And I think you're right. We do get stuck in this whole idea of, I think it's our self-confidence and our self-esteem.
Yep.
And it prevents, oh, and the biggest thing is fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably
yeah.
number one with everything is the fear factor. You know, it's the fear that, you know, I'm not going to be successful or I can't do this. You know, when Kathy said she walked away from that job after 28 years, I know she was fearful. But
right.
you know what? It takes a courage, and it takes a lot of courage for you to become an entrepreneur. And I think people need to understand that you are going to have to somehow, the fear is not going to go away. It's always
right.
going to be there. I'm still fearful. I've been in business 25 years, and sometimes I'm still fearful. But I just say to myself, and you have to do a lot of self-talk to yourself. You know what, Cheryl?
Feel the fear and do it anyhow.
That's right. I'm going to make it, you know what, no matter what. And every morning I get up and I say, it's showtime. You know?
That's right.
You got to keep yourself motivated.
And, you know, Kathy, I want you to share when you stepped away from your corporate job, because you was on the show already. Tell the listeners some of the statements you heard and some of the opposition you faced, you know, walking away from that real job.
Well, first of all, I had zero support other than my spiritual guide and my Heavenly Father. But my friends, my family, my spouse, my parents, everyone that was close to me that I really trust, you know, I had a lot of trust for, they told me I was crazy. Are you out of your mind? What is wrong with you? That is so ridiculous. Why would you leave that job to do something? You have no idea how it's going to turn out. But I did have an idea how it was going to turn out because I was connected with a higher power, and they just did not understand that. All they knew is that I was making a lot of money. I was telling people over and over and over and over, I am miserable. I don't like what I'm doing. When you don't like what you're doing, you're only going to give it a half effort.
That's
That's right.
If that. And I was only giving it a half effort. I mean, I was just kind of there. I was coasting along. I could pretty much do it with my eyes closed. I was in management. So I was delegating down to my people. I mean, they were doing the stuff. Thank goodness I had good people. But, yeah, I was not receiving any support from anyone. I was praying and meditating, and that's what brought me through, and that's what brought me out.
You know,
I made the right move.
That's right. And when I heard your story the first time, Kathy, it reminded me of Walt Disney and when they had the official opening of Disneyland. And when one of the speakers pointed out to Mrs. Disney that, oh, it's a pity Walt was not here to see this. And she said, oh, no, he saw it. You know, he had the vision. Because if he didn't have a vision, he couldn't create the plan for such a project as that. And that's the same thing with us as entrepreneurs. People will never understand us. And that's all right, because it's not for them to understand. So long as we know that we are about God's business and we stay focused on that. Because you know what happened? When you become extremely successful, those same people are going to say, man, I always know you could do it. And you have a lot of people in your corner applauding you. Cheryl, how does money come into all of this? The mix of, you know, we know that going out as entrepreneur, a lot of us, we don't have the funding and all of that. As a wealth strategist and money strategist, how does all this come into play?
Well, unfortunately, wealth or money, I should say, plays a very big role in it. And in fact, that's probably what stops most people from making the transition from becoming an employee to an entrepreneur, because they do say it's the money, it's the benefits, you know, I'm not going to have health benefits, I'm not going to have all this, I'm not going to have that. And so what I always tell people, if they want to make a transition to becoming an entrepreneur, they start part-time. Start the business while you are still working and grow it to the point where, you know, you can walk away from the job. But I know for a lot of people, because everyone just can't get up and walk away, you know.
Right.
So you have to plan it out. You have to have a savings. You've got to have a cushion when you're ready to make that full commitment to become an entrepreneur. And that's what I did. Because I used to work in corporate America, too, a long time ago. But I had a vision. I had 5 years. I said, I'm going to give myself, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to save up enough money to have a cushion so that I can have my own business. And so when I, you know, I was saving, I was sacrificing, I didn't go out and eat a lot, I didn't buy a lot of clothes, and I mean, I was didn't take vacations. I mean, I was always putting money away. I called it my financial freedom account. So when I finally left my corporate America job, I had saved up 2 years worth of income. So, but it was a commitment. I was committed to it. And that's what it takes. You know, you have to be committed to your dream. Bill Gates, all those guys, they're committed to it. When you're committed, you're going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. So that's rule number one. You've got to be committed. Don't worry about the money, but start putting money away so that you can walk away and become an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Cheryl. And when I say I left corporate America, I absolutely did. But the other thing, too, you made a very good point. And the other thing, too, I want all the listeners to know is that I have always had a love for helping other people. That's always been a passion of mine. Even when I was 20 years old, I was in Big Brothers Big Sisters. I was always mentoring others, always helping young people. So I've always had a passion for that. So please, don't just jump up, leave your job, and go do something you have no clue about. Make sure it's something that you love, you're passionate, and as Cheryl stated, very good point. Have a plan. Have a plan. And you're right, I was squirreling money away. Oh, my God.
You know
what?
I was squirreling money away because I knew the day was going to come when I was going to walk away. I knew it, and that she is so right. Don't just up and jump. You have to think it through.
You know, a couple months ago, I had a guest on this show, and she shared her story I think for about 2 years, she was shopping around and buying office furniture. She was working in a corporate job. And sometimes when she would go shopping for these office furnitures and equipment and things, she felt a need to explain to the people that she was going to open a home office. You know, sometimes your contents work on you and everything. And everything was being stored away in a storage unit someplace. She had no desire at that time to go into business, but she just felt led to buy these things when she saw them on sale. And one day she went home, she said, and she was cleaning her house. And she went upstairs, lay across her bed to take a nap because she was exhausted from cleaning. And she got awoke by a vision of the name of her company that she was supposed to start. She just wake up like a loud buzzer in her head saying the name of her business, the name of her business. And that's how all she had to do was to secure an office space, because she already, she said, Daphne, I had from paperclip right up to office unit.
Wow, Hodge,
I need to hear from you. We don't want you to be too quiet there. You know how we women get to talking and all of that.
Yeah, just jump in there, Hodge. Just jump on in there.
Yeah, what the brother got to say.
One of the things that I also want to share with people, too, is that people need to understand that a corporate job is not an enemy. And one of the great things that you learn, or some of the great points that you learn, is that you really learn how to work. The average person, if they're just thrown into or they're just thrusted into working for themselves, there's a lot of things that there's a lot of structural things that are not there. And you have to be extremely disciplined to be able to work from your home, to be able to work on your own, to make sure that you are accomplishing tasks that, you know, because in a corporate environment, the structure is set. And so you do your job, and it becomes an everyday thing. When you're on your own, if you don't sell enough widgets at the end of the day, you're not going to eat. You know, I have to sell books, I have to go speak, and the things that I have to do. So there's specific tasks that I have to accomplish every single day so that by the end of the week, I know that I have things that are coming in or things that are scheduled. So I think people can look at their job as a great way to build a network. It's a great way to be able to learn what they want to do. It's a way, you know, I mean, it was already brought up in terms of doing it part-time. What I call it a grustle. It's a grind and a hustle. So so your grind is your daily, your everyday job is what brings in revenue that allows you to be able to then to be able to establish the company, to be able to put the things in place where you do it on the side or do it part-time while you're still figuring out what you want to do. Lots of times people haven't figured it all out. But if you can begin to work on that while you're working, and there's minimal risk because now I'm not worried about eating because I have a job that funds that I can then continue to work on the idea and kind of get to a point to where now I can make that transition. And for some people, they'll just want to do it part-time. They might not want to go work on their own full-time, but they'll want to work on something part-time because maybe that's their outlet or something that gives them a sense of accomplishment. So I think it's great to be able to work on it, but utilize the job. It's not an enemy. It's a platform to be able to learn and to grow from.
Somebody in the chat room says something that's very interesting. The person says your corporate job can be your teacher. And they're just affirming what you just say, Hodge, because it's not easy being an entrepreneur, and we know it's not for everybody. And we need the discipline, and as you said, and the person in the chat room is also affirming that. It can
because,
be your teacher.
Because we have to understand how you're wired. Some people shouldn't be entrepreneurs. I mean, because, again, they like working, you know, in an environment to where there's minimal risk, you know. And so really understanding how you're wired, I believe, is critical. And there's other people to where now you won't be able to maximize, you know, your earning potential. You won't even be able to do everything that you're created to do working for someone else for an entire career. So, again, it really goes back to how a person's wired and really understanding that.
That's right. You know, somebody else in the chat room says another important thing is that to be prepared for setbacks and obstacles, but if this is where your passion is really, that will get you through. And that is so true, because money is not going to do it. You got to have a passion and a burning desire. Even if you're not making a dime, you still have that zeal to go out there. I want to touch lives. I want to change people's lives. I want to add value to who they are. And that's what is going to get you out there. And we'll find out that once you start focusing on those things, and then the money just come rolling in, rolling in, rolling in.
And Daphne, that person in the chat room that said what they said, that's a very true statement, because, I mean, I worked for one of the world's biggest corporations. I worked for IBM Corporation. And I received all the management training, employee development, all that training and development. Oh, my gosh, that was just invaluable, because I was able to bring all of that away with me.
That's right.
And incorporate it into my own business. And I learned a ton of stuff.
Yeah, intellectual capital. That's the investment.
That's
and with
right,
that, which is the same thing you are doing for somebody else. Because when we invest in human beings, that dividend always rises. It
absolutely
never falls. And whether we hear the testimony from those people or not, we can rest assured we're not losing on that. It's always rising.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is so true.
That's true.
Let's go back to branding. Hodge, I had asked you some of the opposition you experience when you just start out, and as we know, all four of us know that brand is a continuous education, and it's going to take others to convert others and to get the understanding. Where does an entrepreneur begin when it comes to branding?
One of the first things that I think is that everyone should have a mission statement. So I think, you know, going back to really creating a mission statement, that really helps you to really have clarity, so you have goals, you figure out what it is that you want to focus on, is a good starting point. I think identifying your passion in terms of what it is that you like doing, and then really thinking about, okay, what is something that I can do that really centers around my passion and thing that I really have a strong, strong desire for, and then look at the business model, how would I be able to, how can I make money doing that thing? So I think going back to your passion, creating a mission statement and starting with a focus there gives people a great platform or starting point. I think that becomes the starting point. One of the big things to think about today is that we live in a day and age where technology is changing everything. And so now, if you were not comfortable with the internet, if you weren't comfortable with really using social networks, I think it's something that is key, because you can have all the talent, all the ability, the intellect, all the information, all the intellectual property, but when people go to look for information, they go online. And so it really becomes important that people become relevant. Being relevant means that if someone goes into Google, they need to be able to find you. And when they find you, they need to find content that relates back to the space that you want to operate in. So I think we have to, and even for me, I had to do that. Because I know most of the young people that are growing up now, the millennials, they're growing up, and they grew up digital. So they grew up, you know, this year we had the first group that went into college this year that grew up on Facebook throughout their entire high school experience. So now they're changing the entire educational process because they grew up, and that's how they communicated. And so it's interesting to see how things are evolving. So I think the online piece, tweeting, using Facebook, using a lot of these tools, is going to be a critical piece towards people being relevant and being able to expose what they do to the rest of the world or to an entire new network.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad you pointed that, Hodge, because I am the grandmother of the group here, and I started in the late 90s on the computer, so I'm kind of a baby there. But I tell you something. I am continually learning about the impact. But my greatest impact came on December the 11th this year when I celebrated my birthday. And I said I was going to do something unique. That's what I told myself. I was going to have a digital birthday celebration on my Facebook. And I tell you something, the emails and the digital cards came from across the world. And I said, oh my God, I had no idea all the people and where they were from that is tied into my network.
Yeah.
You know? So you are absolutely right. I mean, yesterday I was listening to Willie Crawford's show, and there was one of his guests there was talking about people are no longer going to the Yellow Pages to look for business. So he had gone to solicit somebody's business, and the person spent a large amount of money on a Yellow Page ad. And he said to him, when you have to go golfing and things like that, where are you looking? The man said, oh, I go to Google. He said, well, where do you think your customer's going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what you just said, Hatch, is a very valid point. I think
Sharon
is up next.
I just wanted to ask Hodge a quick question, Daphne, before you move on. Hodge, how do you see the online technology fitting into branding and, you know, creating your niche and your business model? How do you see the online pieces like the social networking sites, the Facebook, the Twitter, and
it's going to be major. For a person to run a business and to not have a hub and to not have online activity, they're going to miss out on. They're going to miss out on a major portion of their business. So what I strongly recommend is that everyone should have their name.com. So you know, like my name is HodgeFleming.com. You should begin to own digital real estate. And so having your domain name, going into the various social networks, where a lot of them you can get a vanity name, like for Twitter, my Twitter is twitter.com/HodgeFlemings, and owning these, because this content is all searchable in Google. Something else that's big now is that you're now gonna start to see social search. What that means is that the search engines, Google and the Bing search engine, which is a Microsoft search engine, they're now pulling in content that comes from Facebook and Twitter. And so now, as people are tweeting and as people are putting status updates, this is going into search real time. And so it's influencing brands. It's influencing the conversation. And so you have to have a presence. If you have a website, there needs to be a way that they can get to your Facebook, your Twitter page, your YouTube, those kind of things. Because what happens is that you are able to, you're growing your community. Having an email list is one community, and it's a very good community to have. But then there's also the active community that's actually communicating things. One great example would be there's a company that came out with a blender called Blended. And a couple years ago, they started out doing YouTube videos, and so they started out by blending an iPod, and so they blended this iPod, put it on YouTube, and they had over 1 million views, and then the whole thought was that people were like, if it can blend an iPod, well surely it can blend ice. And what happened is that they created something that people were so interested in that now it became viral and people began to share it. When your content is good and now it's in a place that's shareable, more people can find out about it. So to answer your question, it's going to be major. If you don't have it, you're going to get lost. Because people go to look for stuff on. I don't even look in the Yellow Pages. I go strictly towards the Google search engine, and I go in there, or I look in Twitter or the various search technologies that are available to find content and things that I want to find out about.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, Kathy, for that question. And thanks,
yeah,
much for
great
so eloquently answering that question. Cheryl, I want to give equal time to everybody, and I think you're up next.
Oh, well, I can add. Let me just add a little bit to that as well, because
sure.
One of the things that I see happening, and Hodge is right, what I see happening in terms of using the Internet for creating a brand for yourself, there is so much that you can do today. Just like, for example, what we're doing right now. You have your own radio show. You can have your own television show. I mean, it's amazing. And the one thing, too, like, you know, having your own I think you can have a channel on YouTube, if I'm not mistaken. There's a
yes.
Ustream I think it's called Ustream.tv, where you can have a live show, which, you know, is amazing. And what I'm hearing is that a lot of the Today Show and Good Morning America, they're looking at all of these different entities like Ustream TV and YouTube, and they're searching out for people who have, you know, different types of products or different types of shows, and they're making them even more, you know, national by putting them on their national television shows. So it's you know, you really have to be online, and because it's so much noise out there,
yes,
you have to be different, and so you've got to do all of these things to make yourself known.
And that is so true, Sharon, because, for example, for me, I have over 12,000 followers on Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest, I don't have any products out there yet. I have not sold them one thing. All I have been doing since I'm on Twitter, and I remember it was just a few months ago, I even forgot what my Twitter name was. And Dolores Presley teases me all the time. She said, I can't believe you couldn't find your name the other day, and look how many followers you have now. And the one thing I do every day, I tweet some empowerment statement, because I said to myself, so long as I'm adding value to people, the followers are going to come. And that is so true. It is giving me visibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yes.
Kathy, I want to speak to you a little bit about living by design. I know you are just like me. You are just so passionate about what you do.
Right.
Each time you hear those three words, living by design, what does it do for you as an entrepreneur?
That's what my work is all about. That's my payment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For me, that's what gives me energy. That's what really propels me to higher heights. That's what makes me want to do more, give more, and just really take a piece of myself and put it out there, because that's what life is all about.
Mm-hmm.
When you can understand those three little words,
mm-hmm,
everything else will work itself out.
Yes.
Now, and then that doesn't mean it doesn't come without effort, and it doesn't come without action.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Hodge and Cheryl and everything that everybody is saying on this call is absolutely right on. You mm-hmm. must have a vision. You must have a mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
You must have a plan. As mm-hmm. Cheryl said, you know, she was putting her money away in her account, and she mm-hmm. had a 5-year plan where she knew what mm-hmm. she wanted to do. Those things are very, very, very important. But
mm-hmm.
please make sure your plan is going toward what your purpose is, not what someone else wants for your life.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I want to just piggyback, because as I listen to Kathy now, something came right to the front of my mind about the social media. There is a gentleman by the name of James Valentine that I network with. I think he's in the UK. And James and I, we've been networking. He has like a millionaire circles and everything like that. And we were networking for a few months. And then we're talking about how we can add value to each other's vision, mission, and purpose.
Right.
And, you know, James sent me back an email saying, well, he says, you know, you are the queen of the empowered soul. And I read that and I said, wait. He has never met me. We are only networking virtually. And he sees this in me. So there's another person in my inner circle. I shot the email out to that person. And the person says, where did you get this? And I explained. And she said, well, that is you for a tea. So somebody miles and miles away who has never met me face to face, because of the value that I'm adding to what he's doing, could identify that. So I'm saying that to say, Kathy, you are so right, because every time that you stand up or wherever you go, those three little words is what people view you as. Is she living by this time? You shouldn't have to tell people that what you're passionate about. They need to see that in your every move.
Yeah.
And Daphne, you are so right, because that what you just said is, you know, that person feeling your energy and your love and your passion, that's the law of attraction at its best. Because if you are doing what you're supposed to do and you are very passionate about it, that energy thoughts and what we do and how we put it out there, it's very powerful. It's magnetic.
Mm-hmm.
And that energy draws more energy, more similar energy like that to you. It draws it to you. So
what
if you're always
think?
Miserable and always seeing the glass half empty, you're mm-hmm. going to draw more misery to you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What they say, oil seeks its own level, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you are miserable, the miserable people is going to be attracted to you. A lot of those people. So you have to start living by design. What is it you want? You have to start creating and attracting. One of the commitments I made to myself this year, I said, I'm going to start doing my journal in the mornings. I'm going to start creating my day. Instead of doing it in the evenings, which I was doing for years. So now I do it in the morning. During the daytime, I have something else to do in there. I'm doing that too. But at the end of the day, I'm summarizing that day that I created for myself.
And Daphne, one other thing I wanted to just point out too, I know there are a lot of people on the call who are going to be able to relate to this, and that is your network, the people that you allow into your space, into your life. Your network is your net worth. I'm sure we probably
heard that quote.
And that there may be some people that you absolutely cannot cut out of your life, but they're very negative and they just drain all your energy. And if you can't totally remove those people, then try to minimize your interaction and your time around them, because those people really will suck the life right out of you.
Mm-hmm. You know what I tell people, Kathy? You have them for Thanksgiving dinner and for Christmas, and you pack the dessert. Pack the dessert to go. Take home containers, because during dessert is when all the negativity start coming out. So you make sure you pack the dessert to go, so everybody have their desserts in their own homes, so then there's no negative conversation.
And there may be family members. I mean, some of
That's
these
right.
negative people may be family members that you absolutely can't remove from your life, but you can minimize your interaction with them, because you can't allow someone else to drain your positive energy. You are in control of that.
That's right. Hodge?
Absolutely.
Yes. Another point that I wanted to speak on, you know, I think that's a very good point to think about in our inner circle. And what I like to talk a lot about, too, is virtual mentors.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people
that
mentor me, and they don't, you know, and I don't necessarily have a personal relationship with them. There are people that I follow online that I will look at what they're doing, and I'll learn a tremendous amount from reading their blog, watching YouTube videos, reading content that they create, buying their books. And what I've done is that I've made a decision on who are the people that I'm going to allow to speak into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also to be able to grow our brand and to be able to improve is that we need to be readers. We need to constantly get information that's going to help us to grow to another level. If you're the smartest person in your circle, then you need to run from the circle that you're in. Because, again, it might feel good for a minute that you know what I'm saying, people are coming to you, but if you are the smartest one, then you need to get into another circle to where now you're going to be challenged to go to the next level.
That's right. One of the points there, too, you know, Hodge, with that, think at it, if you're feeling guilty and fearful to move, just look at it like, oh, I'm stopping somebody else from growing, and just exit gracefully. I want to make room for somebody else to grow, because there are so many wonderful talents here. I got to give you all room.
And you can't be scared to go to the next level. I recently did a blog post on what is normal, and I did it based on the whole Tiger Woods scenario in terms of, you know, as you go from one level to another level, what is normal at the level that you were at, it totally changes. And as you're influenced and as you grow, then there are things that you have to change. Your inner circle has to change. There are a lot of things that change because now what you could do before, you can't do now, because now there's more people that you influence, there's more things that are at risk, and you have to always be in a state of that you're reevaluating yourself, and you're always looking for ways that you can improve what it is that you're doing. And again, people who are highly successful understand this. You know, they, you know, the circle that they run in, the people that they speak to, Bill Gates, his inner circle is, you know, is Warren Buffett. And even though, we might not be at that level yet, there are people that we can speak to that will help us to be able to grow and to learn and to improve in what we're doing.
That's right. That's right. That's why I'm hanging with you all.
I'm here learning too, you know, and so,
right.
You know what I'm saying,
that's
but it's
right.
Great. You know what I'm saying? It's great when we get on a call because, again, when you have a panel, you get a different perspective. And
exactly.
So some of the points, I'm just sitting here listening, and it's like, you know what, that's a good point. And I'm taking my own notes because, again,
exactly.
We all grow, and it's not like any one person knows everything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know something? I want to say to you guys, when we trust spirit and when we trust God, he just elevates us, and all of a sudden we look so smart. Because when God put this on my heart, you know, Cheryl, it was in the middle of the last time you were on the show when I forgot what you said, and Spirit said to me right there, you need to do a panel for the end of the year. You remember? And I immediately said to you, Cheryl,
yes.
Are you going to be willing to come back
mm-hmm.
for the end of the show? And you said, most certainly.
Yes.
So Spirit tells us what we need to do. And just to piggyback on what Hajah says, as we elevate in the different status of our lives, we need not forget our spiritual overhaul, because that is very important. Because that's when we lose ourselves, when we have no spiritual understanding and connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, who I haven't heard from? Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody was going to say something?
I was going to say.
I think there was good points made. Go
okay.
Ahead,
go ahead,
I was
Cheryl.
Going to say, I remember Liz hearing a saying from Tony Robbins. I know many of you may have heard of him.
Oh,
he's
yes.
He's the guy that's the motivator. He's been on all the infomercials. And I read a story about him where he was with a group of people. And he was talking to Mark Victor Hansen, who the Chicken Soup for the Soul book writer
mm-hmm.
and a publisher. And he was asking Mark Victor Hansen, he said, you know what, I've been out here for a long time doing, you know, in the speaking world. And he said, I'm only making, you know, $5 million, but you've only been around a short time and you're making, you know, $50 million. And he said, what's the difference?
That's
and
right.
So Mark Victor Hansen said, well, he said, who are the people you're hanging around with? He said, are they people who make $5 million or are they people that make $50 million? And,
that's
and
right.
Tony Robbins said, I'm hanging around people who make, you know, $5 million. And he said, well, you better step up your game
exactly.
and start hanging out with people that make $50 million. And
that's
that
right.
really stuck to me. And I was like, wow, you know, he's right. You know, if you want to... You know, whatever amount of money that you want to make, you better get up there
moving.
With those people and hang
yes,
out with
sir.
Them.
You know, last week, Dr. Blanchard, Dr. Ray Blanchard shared, somebody from the chat room asked him last week, she asked, when you are looking for people to do joint venture with or to partner with in business, what are some of the qualifications you look for? Mm-hmm. And he shared a unique experience, because you all know who Ray is. He is the author for The Answer. And he honestly said, he was very open. He said, when I worked on The Answer, I think I did it competitively, because I was thinking people is either going to buy The Secret or they're going to buy The Answer. And he said, what happened from me doing that movie, I got invited to be on this special council where a lot of the people you just mentioned, Cheryl, Mark Victor Hansen, Jack Canfield, and all those guys are on that circle. And now Ray got invited to be on that council. He said, now I find myself talking more about The Secret than I am talking about The Answer. And we are all impacting so many million people's lives because they all pool their resources.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want to be, you don't know how you're going to get into the circles of what the people that will help you attract the kind of success you want. But you have to look within yourself and say, am I going to continue settling for the mediocrity or I want to move out of it? And that you have to just strive for what you want.
Yes.
Kathy,
and I just wanted to
go ahead.
Oh,
Kathy.
I just wanted to add to that that networking comment that Hyde made. It was a fabulous one, and then Cheryl added to it. And networking is kind of an art. It's one of those things. You're right. You're absolutely correct in that you must make sure that your networking circle is adequate and, you know, the knowledge base is there. But I want to make sure all the listeners understand that it's twofold. When you network, it's an art. Please don't try to network and get in with someone or a group of people for your own selfish gain. I mean, it should be
right.
A two-way street. You should have
value.
Something to offer. You, yeah. Right. You should add value just like you want to receive value. For instance, I'm listening to both Hodge and Cheryl and Daphne. I mean, you're already there for me, but Hodge and Cheryl are new for me. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've never met either one of them, and they are both absolutely fantastic people that I would love to stay in touch with and network, and I'm just letting mm-hmm. you both know that.
Absolutely.
Likewise.
But that's how networking should be. It should be twofold. I can offer you value, and you can offer me value.
Definitely, definitely. That's a great
you
point.
You know what I noticed, Hodge and Cheryl, and we've been going to the Power Networking Conference for how many years? And one of the things that I've been observing over the years is that people use that conference, a lot of people, to push business cards. And I had a conversation
right.
with a woman 1 year. She kept shoving her card to me, and I was speaking to somebody else, and I just would not pay any attention. And she wanted for me to take her card, so she hung around until I was through speaking to the person I was interacting with. And I said to her, you know something? Please do not give me your card unless I understand what you do. Because I said, when I go out about my daily task, I do not have your business cards with me. But when you take the time to explain to me about what you do, everywhere I go, I have that information with me. And her eyes went wide open. Because people are there saying, let me see how many hundreds of cards I can distribute. And that's not how you add value.
Right.
Right. That is so true. And that's why networking, and that's why I called it an art, because it's an art.
It is
an art. And not only that, but what Hodge said earlier about making sure that if you're the smartest person in your networking circle, then something is wrong. Mm-hmm. Actually, the universe kind of, just my own personal experience, the universe actually kind of took care of that for me, because when I started living my purpose and I moved away from corporate America and I started actually changing on the inside, the universe started bringing people to me. The universe also started removing toxic people from my life, and I was actually trying to hold on to some of those toxic people, not understanding the full gist of what was going on. Because
you didn't understand your season.
No, I didn't totally understand. I kind of had an idea, but I didn't totally understand. And I couldn't figure out, why are these people not talking to me anymore? Why are they not returning my calls anymore? Why are they just falling out of my life? And they were just falling out of my life. It's just like, you know, flies at a,
that's
you know,
right.
a picnic.
Because their season was up.
Yeah,
and
their season was over.
You know, we all do that even in relationships that's outside of business. When things end, let them go. Love them
right.
and release
yeah.
them.
Let it go. Let it go. Right.
Let it go. And just
it might be painful, but again, it's not about the pain. It's the lesson
right.
that you need to learn. It's the
that's
lesson.
Right.
You need. So when I started just allowing the universe to do its thing and just let those people go, new people start showing up out of nowhere.
Right, and you keep wondering, oh, my Lord, where did they come from? You know something? I want to remind the listeners, please call in. We love to hear your voices. So call in. We want to hear from you. The number is 646-915-8166. I know the conversation is so good and everybody's taking a lot of notes, but we love to hear your voice. You know, everybody needs a little pat on the shoulder. So I want you to let the experts know how much you appreciate them. So call in, ask a question. We only have 54 minutes remaining. Again, the number to call is 646-915-8166. And I got to go back to Hodge because, Hodge, you let these women talking you out, man.
Oh, I think he's holding his own.
He's doing pretty good.
I just try to make sure it's a balance. But one of the things that I want to share with people, and I think you know everyone on this panel will agree. I put out my predictions for social media. I mean, for personal branding for 2010. One of the things that I put out there is I talk about the growth of the female personal brand, and I think that the female voice is going to grow. Part of the reason I feel that way is that if you look at the demographic of who's on the various social networks, women outpace men. You know, if you look at Twitter, 60% of the people on Twitter are women. If you look on Facebook, 57% are women. If you start to look at some of the larger voices, you have mommy bloggers, you have blogger.com. So I think women are going to start to rise in prominence. A lot of the conferences that relate back to social media, a lot of the panels are male-dominated. But I think you're going to start to see more and more influence from the female perspective, just because women are the ones who are making buying decisions. They're more female-centric type groups that are out there. So I would encourage, because I'm assuming that you have a large female following, and so I would encourage you to continue to use these tools because it's going to benefit your business and it's going to connect you with the world of people that you've never physically met. Most of the people that I have in a social network that I'm connected in, probably more than half of them I have not physically met, but we've created digital relationships where now we're able to be positive influences for each other, to give each other advice, ideas, and really help to connect the dots. So I wanted to bring that point out.
Hodge?
Well, Hodge, I have a question for Hodge along
Kathy,
that line.
Hold on, Kathy.
Oh, okay.
Hodge?
Okay.
Kathy and Cheryl and I, we're going to have to take your mama out for dinner. She did a good job raising you.
Yes, she did.
Thank you.
We thank you. So tell her next dinner is on us.
I agree.
Okay. Thanks.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Well, my question is kind of along the line of what you just mentioned as far as the female population, and I totally agree with everything you said because I've looked up some statistics on that as far as the projection for women female entrepreneurs on the rise and that whole thing. When it comes to self-help and when it comes to empowerment and life improvement and personal development, why do you feel that women are leading the pack over men, and why are men so resistant to making life changes, necessary life changes that they know they need to do, but they are so resistant to it?
Let me make sure that I understand your question. So are you asking in terms of, you know, the people who are the leading voices in the space or just – I want to make sure that I understand the question.
From a mind
Well, the question is just kind of in general, because like you said, when I host an empowerment radio show and for Daphne and for, you know, most people who talk about empowerment and who talk about personal development and who talk about, you know, what is required to do a life transformation and living by design and living your purpose and understanding how your thoughts control your behaviors and those types of things, when you talk about that and you totally seem to get it, why do you feel that there's a large majority of men who are lagging behind in understanding that concept or being resistant to making those necessary changes in their lives? They just feel like, oh, I'm fine with what I'm doing, even though they're broken. But they feel like they're fine with what they're doing, but they're not.
It's it's a three-letter word, and I'm going to give her time to say that. But from my opinion, it's that one three-letter word, ego, that gets into the way and sensitivity. Kathy, when I speak to men about journaling, you know the first thing they say to me? That's a girl thing. So go ahead. I just had to weigh in there. Go ahead, Hodge.
That's a valid point, and I think it's true. Yeah. I think as men, we don't wear our feelings on our sleeves. So lots of times we might be thinking something, but we don't come out and share it. And I think also, too, if there are conferences that are led by women, in many cases what you'll find is that it's easier to draw a female audience. A male is less likely to be in that kind of environment unless there's a lot of other males there. Or they might be looking for someone that looks like them to kind of say, well, I feel comfortable in this environment being able to share that. We all have issues. And anybody who tells you that don't have an issue, they're lying, you know. And so as men, we have issues. We just don't readily come out and share those, you know. I mean, we'll talk with the fellas maybe at a game or something like that, and we'll say stuff in more of a guy kind of way. So I think we just don't just come out and just share those kind of things openly.
And Hodge, you know what I tell the guys who don't want to do journal? I say, buy it in black, navy blue, or brown, and don't get a large one. Just get a small one that fits in the inside pocket of your blazer or your jacket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that kind of bring the masculinity back into the play because, the brothers don't wear their feelings on their sleeves at all.
Well, Barbara, don't you think that there may be another way to reach guys and to try to get the point across to them in a different manner? Maybe journaling is not for them, but is there something else that men would accept more readily than journaling? And I don't know what that may be.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
I was going to say, and I think that's probably why what Hodge just said earlier, why you're seeing more females embracing the whole social networking thing, because men are not natural. This is not their natural thing. They don't talk to each other. They don't share feelings. They don't share information like we do. And I think that's why they're struggling right now with not being so involved in social networking like we are. I think it's not just ego. I think it's just not a natural
thing for them to do. Because I want
to
share something. I think it was maybe 6 years ago. I was attending a retreat out in Arizona at the Camelback Inn.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience was half and half, men and women. And the men, when we had the small groups, the men just locked up, like some of them fold their arms across their chest and things like that, and they just would not share. And I eavesdropped on their conversation in the hallway during break. And you know what they were talking about? How beneficial and easy it is for women to share in groups, and they really get their money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
But we as men, why can't we do the same? We are holding ourselves back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to just piggyback on what Kathy say, maybe journaling is not the thing for them. And yes, we know it's not across the board, but it is certainly one component. But I think one way that all of us as educators, because that's who we really are, is to be patient with them. And we have to, take men back to pre-K stage and let them know that it's not all bad. This personal development thing, it's not all that bad. And just feed them small bite-sized, Kathy. Because, I mean, we with our strong personalities, we can get impatient with them. But it's going to take tolerance and patience and feeding them and exposing them to great men like Hodge and all the other great men that is on the speaking circle. And let them see the brothers rock the stage. Let them see the brothers get sensitive. Let them see the brothers get touchy-feely. And maybe not in our lifetime, but in our grandchildren's lifetime, the men will come around.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah,
and I think anyone who is able to crack that code, anyone who is able to come up with a great model for men to embrace, I think you will really, really be having a fabulous niche for your business.
Maybe it's all four of us need to get together to crack that code.
Yeah, well, that would be a great, because as Hod stated, or someone said, we all have issues.
Oh, yeah, we
every
do.
Every single one of us, we have issues, and it's all in how we respond to those issues and react to those issues, because that's part of life.
That's right.
Life is going to happen, so it's all, and so guys always struggle with that part of their lives, and if someone can come up with a way to help get that message across, they would really be doing a significant task there.
All right, so we that's something for us four to have a conversation around, because if spirit given to you, I don't think it's for us to shuffle it off. We need to discuss it and follow up on that. So
absolutely.
All four of us need to talk about Hodge, okay?
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And for the listeners, I don't want the listeners to be intimidated about calling in. You know, please,
exactly.
there's no questions. That's a dumb question. Please, whatever's on your mind, it doesn't matter what it is, we would be extremely thrilled to address your questions. So please call in.
Yes. Let me see. Somebody in the chat room says they need to. I think they're saying there need to be trust. Famous figures. They need to trust famous figures to tell them it's okay. Like we have Oprah. Yes, that's a valid point too. I want to. Let me just personally welcome each person in the chat room. And maybe that will encourage them to call in. Guest 222, 231, 250. And Miss Miniki or something, I'm probably pronouncing that. No Single Mama Drama. WOW host Dana and Walking Passion. We welcome you. Please call in. Let us hear your voice, even for 30 seconds. We are begging. Now we are really groveling. So help us out. Call in.
We're here to help you.
Again, the number is 646-915-8166. Okay, so let's go to Hodge.
Okay.
We thank you for really taking the lid off the social media and really enlightening us. And thank you for the compliment about the rise of women in that arena. But as I look back over the history of women, when we look on churches or places of worship, women are always leading the prayer meetings. When you look in the schools, when you go to parent-teacher conferences, it's the women. So women are always in the front of getting things done. So we are accustomed to that, but we thank you for the compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you would give the entrepreneurs a checklist, Raj, I know we went over some of the pointers. How do they start crafting their brand? You mentioned about the mission statement, their passion, and all of that. And we have that clear, but what are some upfront things they need to observe in which to craft their brand?
One of the things I think is always important is that you need to find somebody else who's already doing it. I'll never forget when I was in Chicago and I went to a conference, it was a branding conference that was held by I can't remember the name offhand, but I went to the conference. I met a gentleman who had gourmet butter, and so I talked to him and I said, you know, who's your competition? And his first statement to me was that I have no competition. And so I said, okay. I said, are you in any stores at all? And he was like, no. I said, well, okay. That means there's somebody else They might not have the flavor that you have, but they're buying something else. Mm-hmm. And so that was revelation to him that he had competition because he thought that because his flavor was different, but he had no shelf space. So I think the first thing is realizing there are other people in the space, mm-hmm. and they're not enemies to you, but they're ways you can learn from them. So what I did is that I went out and I bought the books of 5 to 10 other people who were in the same space that I was in to see what was already done. And
that's
because
right.
It was no sense to me recreating the wheel. So I think looking for other people that are already doing what you're doing more successfully and looking at what they've done so you can use that kind of as a blueprint to be able to learn. So look, understand who else is out there, embrace what they're doing, find out what you can learn and grow from them, and then also look at if I want to be able to do this full-time, What are going to be the inputs? What are going to be the drivers or the things that are going to be able to help me to be able to do that? Making sure that you have a presence online is going to be critical. There are a lot of ways to do a lot of things that don't cost a lot of money. If you don't have money for a website, there are ways to be able to host a blog for free. You can go to blogger.com. Mm-hmm. WordPress has they have a free version where you can at least then take someone online. You can even use even a lot of your online content. Facebook, you can use that as a hub. You can create a fan page. So you can create a place to where now you can upload content. And so you have the content is king. And so creating something that at some point later on they can be monetized. If you want to write a book, you can write a book online in your blog and doing blog posts and then take that content and create a book. You can do the same thing with interviews and doing things in YouTube. So it's ways to be able to create content that you can then later on package so that you can monetize it. So I think first learning who else is out there and then creating content that really separates you. One of the points that I know that we all talked about earlier is that you have your own individual voice. And I can't remember who else talked about it, But the point was brought up in terms of not trying to be somebody else. See, I have a patent,
right.
I have a trademark on being Hodge.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Mm-hmm. No, so we have to embrace our uniqueness.
Yes, and be who God created you to be.
That's
because
right.
You can be the best at that. When you try to become somebody else, that's what a challenge has become, and then you never get to the end result that you want. So
that's
I think
right.
Being yourself becomes critical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hodge, how does someone create a channel on YouTube?
You go in there, you set it up, you go in there, you put a profile in the same way you would with any social network. What I recommend, though, is that, again, all this content is searchable on Google. So if you have, if you want to use your name, when I started and created my channel, I created it years ago, so mine is H. Flemings. If I was to do it now, I would have Hodge Flemings, my whole name spelled out. Because you can't change the name of it once you've established it, and you will lose all your views. So I would look at the business or my name as the YouTube.com and then the end of it. Because again, the thing that you create is going to be searchable in Google. So each one of those uploads has a unique URL. So I would use that mindset, and I would be consistent across all the social networks that I was in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to add to that that list too, Daphne. One of the things that I see that entrepreneurs need to do very differently than in the past is that you really have to have a niche. I think the problem today is that it's a lot of us are going after these markets, and it's too broad, and we're not really able to reach them. And especially, there's just too many, it's too much out there. So you've got to almost become like a specialist in
a
particular niche. Right,
that's
an
right.
Expert in a niche. So let's say, for example, I'm going to be an expert in social networking for women entrepreneurs who make mm-hmm. over $100,000 in their business. So,
mm-hmm.
So that way I'm going to be able to find who are these women entrepreneurs who make over $100,000, and it's very specific. So make sure that, when you're thinking about your business,
mm-hmm.
you want to niche it. Don't try
That's
to
right.
be all things to all people because
That's right.
you're not going to be very successful. You really do have to niche it today,
That's
more so than ever.
That's
yeah.
right, because you know something? I did traditional radio for 2 years, and then I started Blog Talk Radio, and I was like all over the place doing everything, and it was William Patterson said to me, listen, I want to find your niche. Who is your niche? I want you to find. And he kept asking me that question. Who is your niche? Mm-hmm. Who is your niche? Who is your niche? And I realized, entrepreneurs, I want to educate them. I want to inspire them. And I want to empower them. And that's it. I'm not saying I won't talk to anybody else, but this is my niche. Mm-hmm. And this is where I want to become an expert in that area. And the important thing, Cheryl, about what you just say, when we find our niche, we do not need all the expertise in which to service them. That's when we get the opportunity to pull in other experts like I am doing today.
Absolutely.
I don't have to have all the information. That's where
right.
you guys come in. That's where the Miles Monroe's come in. That's where the Ken Blanchard's and all of those, Ray Blanchard and all of them come in. Everybody is out there. And with social media, I had a guest on from Scotland. So I can have an expert from anywhere in the world so long as they are a match for what my vision is.
Yes.
Yep.
I want to hear from...
Hodge was going to say something.
Yes,
No, I was just saying, yeah.
Oh.
I was just agreeing.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Miss Kathy? Do you have anything you want to add there about what we just mentioned?
I think absolutely everything you said is right on. It is so extremely important. And I also just wanted to add that I am absolutely loving this discussion. I think the synergy between everyone on the call is fantastic, and I truly do believe we're adding value. And know the listeners are a little reluctant about calling in, but I do believe that you're adding value, and I believe that, you know, maybe you're taking notes. I'm not sure, you know, how you're using the information,
yes.
but everybody uses it in their way and, you know, in their manner. So
yes. I
still want to encourage you to call in because we're
yes.
here, and that's our purpose, is to help you create your toolkit for 2010.
Yes, and that's why we're here. One person in the thing. Oh, but you know something I realized, too, in their defense? Some people are listening from work, and they are probably doing it with their headset, pretending that they're typing. And they can't call. So I do understand that. But one person in the chat room said, pertaining to Hodge's statement on branding, people need to understand that your brand is more than a logo. And that's right.
That's right.
Because a lot of people think, well, it's just my logo. No, you are a walking brand. People oftentimes say to me, why you always dress up? And I said, because I don't know when I'm going to meet my next $2 million client. And I said, when I meet them at the car wash, I don't have time to go home and get dressed to come back. So I got to be ready.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's part of my branding. Everybody see me, they know this is Dynamic Daphne. And, you know, I'm a living, walking testimony of that brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we
and everything
have.
That we do,
go ahead.
And everything that we do, we either build up or we tear down the way people view us, you know, period. The words that we say, how we interact with people becomes very important, you know. So, again, all these things are all touch points.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
you know, like the show the touch point when you interact with people, how you treat people. I tell people, I can't, you know, I was at a game one time. I was at, we had the Final Four here. And so I went to a game, and I was talking to someone who was doing maintenance. And so, you know, so I just having a conversation with them, and they were like, why are you talking to us? I said, you know what? I said, I have the mindset that I treat everybody the way I want them to treat me.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
And I said, I have no idea. You might be the bridge or the door that I need. And
That's
because
right.
I didn't treat you right, I
That's
could
right.
close the door that I know that God has opened up for me just because I treated you inappropriately, because I didn't think that you had value or that you knew anybody. Lots of times, even the secretaries, who are typically the gatekeepers for
they
people
are
of influence,
important.
Oh, we have to treat them right, because they can say one thing and your call may never, ever
get through. They put you on hold ever. Oh, guess what? We have a caller. You all be quiet. Good morning, caller. Your first three digits are 678. Would you please state your name, where you're calling from, and to whom you are posing your question?
This is Key. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia, and it's not really a question, it's a comment.
Yes.
I know everyone has heard of the brand, the online retailer Zappos, and they were very successful in making their brand, not just the logo, but about the total experience.
Yes.
They use customer service and going over and beyond as part of their brand. That's what differentiates them from all the online shoe retailers, and it has proven to be very successful. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you so very much for calling. And you know we owe you. We got to take you to lunch, so we'll call in to make that reservation. But thank you so much for calling, and please don't forget to visit my show page and mark it a favorite so you can be kept informed of who my experts are on the show. I love
you,
and I pray for you a prosperous 2010.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I
would like to add to
thank
her
you.
Point, because I think she brought up a very, very good point. It's ran by a guy by the name of, I think, Tony Heise. I might not be pronouncing his last name correctly. But he's done a tremendous job of using Twitter. And what has happened is that Zappos was purchased by Amazon.com. Because, again, he used – and even though you get into these social networks, it still goes back to a lot of the basic fundamental things in terms of there's an etiquette of being there, of actually being online, treating people the right way, and also going back to customer service. Because, again, we're going to get to a point to where everybody's using all these tools, all right? But what's going to separate you from everyone else? You need to treat people the right way. You know, you need to interact with people and treat people as though they're valued, and that goes a long way. Because I found, and I'm sure everyone else has found, that people do business with people that they like. And if people
don't like you, they won't
do business with you, and they won't tell other people anything positive about what it is that you do.
Exactly. And you know something? People may forget something that you give them, because oftentimes it's something very expensive, but a person will never forget how you made them feel. And every day we go through our doors, we need to have that at the front of our mind. Who am I going to make feel good today? Because we are in a feel-good business.
Yeah.
When we stop letting people feel good, it is the end of our business.
That's right. And you know what? I want to add to that.
Hold on a minute. We have one more caller.
Oh, great.
And, I think they're calling from the Stone Mountain area. Caller, good morning. Your three first digits are 770. Would you state your name and your comments or question, please?
Hi, this is Dina. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Dina. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. I talked to Cheryl before, but this question is for everyone on the panel.
Yeah.
I was sitting here listening, taking notes, but I wanted to ask a question that could really be helpful, not only for me, but hopefully for the audience. My question is, what makes you stop to listen or notice someone that you've never met before or don't know them by name? What makes you stop to listen and want to get to know someone that you've never met or known before? Because we can, of course, when people meet people that are famous or someone that we know, kind of makes us listen. But what makes you guys stop to listen to someone who you may not know by name?
Hodge, go first, then Kathy, then Cheryl, please.
Okay. For me, I look at typically people will have a presence about them, and I watch people's body language. If I'm physically there, how they interact, how they engage. And then also, too, if someone comes across as though they know everything and if they're bigger than everyone else in the room or whatever, then to me that's kind of a turnoff. And so I look at really how they position what they do. Again, they have a presence about them. I look at how they carry themselves. But also, too, there should be a confidence, but also it shouldn't – there's a fine line between being confident and being cocky. And I think that when people are good at what they do, they communicate that in a way to where they don't put down everybody else. And again, so I really look at body language and how people interact and the etiquette, even if it's online, in terms of what is that etiquette that they use in terms of being able to engage people without trying to come across like they have no issues or anything like that.
Thank you. Okay. Kathy?
Well, for me, I just want to make sure I understand the question. You said, what makes you stop
and listen to someone you have never met before?
Okay, great. Yeah, for me, I am drawn to people who talk equally as much as they're willing to listen. Mm-hmm. Because a conversation and a dialogue with someone should be, a back and forth and an evenly distributed discussion versus talking and listening. And for someone who wants to do all the talking, that kind of gives me an indicator that it's all about them. Mm-hmm. Versus someone who listens equally, which lets me know that they're open to learning, they're mm-hmm. open to understanding who you are, they're mm-hmm. interested in what you have to offer, and maybe there's a possibility of you helping each other and working together. So that's how it would work for me.
Cheryl?
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to say that it's a combination of what each Hodge and Kathy has said for me as well. I look at their body language, and then I also look at when we're speaking, if they are monopolizing the conversation, if they're not letting me get any word in, then it's a turnoff for me because then I know that it's all about them and they're not willing to hear what I have to say. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's a combination of both. And I think I'm a good reader of people. Mm-hmm. And, so I kind of sit back and I sometimes don't do all the talking, when I'm out there because I know people, they know of me and oftentimes people think that I'm going to, take over the conversation, and I'm not like that. I'm very, kind of laid back. Okay. I'll kind of listen to people, and, I'm confident in who I am, but at the same time, I don't have to let you know, that I've written 7 books, and, I've
right.
done this and done that, and I've traveled the world. I don't need people to know that about me, mm-hmm. and it's okay, and when I'm across people like that, it just, for me, it's a turnoff.
Right.
For me, I tell people all the time that I have a buzzer inside of me that goes off. And when I'm at a gathering and I'm scanning the room visually and I'm looking for how people are interacting to each other, I am attracted to a person after that buzzer goes off. I start scanning, as I said, and I'm observing their reaction with the other people they are with. Are they listening intently? Are they giving their undivided attention? Then I later on will approach that person and I'll ask them about themselves. And I am watching for the person's pause. I don't want them to give me their whole life story, but I want them to stop and give me an opportunity to ask them more. So I'm drawn to people who listen well.
Mm-hmm.
And Dina, did that answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, it's great because, that's some information like I think Kathy was saying about the art of networking. Mm-hmm. And as I go out there and meet new people, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I'm attracting, I think you guys had mentioned this before too, the right people to me. Mm-hmm. And I want, because I care about people, I want to be able to, find out what it is that they are about, what they're doing, so that I can even see if I have something to offer mm-hmm. them in exchange for them to offer, something to help me as well. So that was just the question that I wanted to know, because a lot of times I feel that people just listen to people that they think are famous or that have a certain amount of money, And they don't realize that wealth is not just money, and that, you know, you can get information and education and inspiration from just somebody that is just working hard to support their family, or somebody who's just starting out. It doesn't have to be a money value attached to it. And I get a lot of people who I think their mindset is, you know, oh, what are you driving? And then they'll listen to you. Or what do you have? And then they'll listen to you, instead of saying, hey, you know, I like what you're doing, or I like what you're saying, and so I want to be a part of that.
Let me say something to you, Dana. After you get off the show today, you need to begin to create the people you want to start attracting. Don't wait until you turn up at that event to figure out whether or not you have something to add value. And you no longer need to concentrate on them adding value to you. Your focus needs to be on adding value to them. The universe is going to compensate you. But what you need to start doing, once you go through the door and once you step out your car, you already create the person you want to attract, and that's the person you're going to attract when you go to that gathering. It's all up to you. If it is to be, it has to be up to you. So you create it before you go there, and once you create it, then you start attracting it like a magnet.
Can I, let me add to that. Yes, you have to, Adina, you have to set that intention, like Daphne just said, way before you go in. Who are the type of people that you want to attract into your life? Are they business people? You know, is it a certain type of business person that you're looking for? And then, and you're right, you have to add value to them, too. And I think in networking, like Daphne mentioned earlier, how sometimes in conferences people just want to give you their card, but it's more than that. You need to figure, you know, sometimes I heard someone say, when you meet someone, say, how can I assist you? What can I do to assist you? And you'll be surprised how when you come to someone with that, and even though this person might be a multi-gazillionaire, but when you come to them and you say, what can I do to assist you? You are going to, they're going to be taken aback, and they're going to want to be your friend, and they want to connect with you, because not enough people do that. Everybody is always asking or wanting to take from people. So when you're saying, what can I do from you, for you, or how can I assist you, you'll be surprised. You're going to get lots and lots of networking connections.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you, Dana, for calling in. She has been in the chat room ever since we signed on. So I thank you for your commitment.
Thank you.
And I don't know where time goes, my heavens. We only have a remaining 17 minutes. So we will still take calls in. I would like for each expert to start summarizing their thoughts for today, the points you want to leave with the listeners. And I will still take calls if the listeners have a question, or if the chat room has a question. And I also want to ask each expert to give their contact information.
Okay.
So we are going to start with Cheryl.
Okay. Well, I would say to everyone on the line that 2010, I think, is a great time for reinvention, repositioning yourself to really go for your dreams, whatever that is, to not allow fear to get in the way, to sit down before the week is out. Sit down and write out your vision statement of what you want 2010 to look like. Where do you see yourself? What do you see yourself doing? What actions do you need to take to make that happen? You need to write out your mission statement. You know, and even if you're not an entrepreneur yet, if you want to become an entrepreneur, put that in that list of things that you want to accomplish. But I think at this point, you need to go for it. I think the world, it's a new world. It has changed. The online internet has leveled the playing field for everyone. There's no reason that you cannot have a business on your own, a part-time business. You can be reaching people globally. It's a brand new world. Like I said earlier, you need to go for it. Go for your dreams. Go for whatever it is you want to do. Make yourself happy. You know, people need to be happy today. You need to make yourself be fulfilled. If you're not fulfilled in your work, then find something that's going to make you fulfilled. We've had enough negativity to last us for a lifetime. And I'm saying no more. This is it. The end of the negativity, of all the terrible stuff that has happened, is over and done with. The past is gone. Let's move forward. Let's have fun. Let's create the life that we desire. Let's go for our dreams. Let's go for our purpose. Let's go for our vision.
Okay. All right. Hodge, you want to, not if you want to go, would you please give your summary thoughts? And you have 4 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Yes, ma'am. I will definitely go next.
I forgot to tell Cheryl that, so that's all right.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. What I would say is that again, not to look in a rearview mirror. Even if 2009 was successful, great learning lessons, now it's time to move on to 2010. If it didn't go the way you wanted to, that's fine too. If now we have a chance to get a fresh start. So in this year, what I would do is that really, I think we need to really reengage and find out what's happening in the online world. Things are changing daily, and so the only way to learn is just to get out there and to learn and to get your feet wet. So I would say, begin to learn about what's happening online. Become relevant from that particular standpoint. Start to own some digital real estate. Your domain name. Look at the other social networks. Even if you're not very active in them at this point. I would say go out and begin to secure the domain names or those URLs. And one of the things that's great is that you can use these as tools to listen. In Twitter, they have a search component where you can go and you can search certain topics. You can do the same thing in other social networks. So I began to start to listen online and begin to see what's happening so that in the future you can begin to establish or really kind of grow what you're doing online. So I would really do that, and I would start to purchase some books. I know all of us on this call, we have different books that we have. I know I wrote a book on personal branding, so you can find that on Brandcamp, U as Brandcamp and the letter U.com. And I know there's other good content that you can read so that you can grow and you can grow to the next level. It's not just about going to the next level, but how do you grow to the next level?
Right.
And the way you do that is by finding out what's out there because the world is changing.
That's right. Kathy?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to summarize by saying that, you know, as I stated throughout everything we've talked about in this discussion, which has been fabulous, by the way, the world will tell you who you are until you stop and tell the world who you are and step out of your comfort zone and take control and design your life. And I'm all about living by design, as you already know, because I want you to also understand it's never too late. I know a lot of people say, and a lot of my clients tell me that, well, I'm too old to start. It's never too late. It's better to wake up late and be wide awake than it is to wake up early and be half asleep. So no matter what your age, no matter what, where you are in life, you can have the life you want. And I also want to just summarize by inviting everyone to come to my show tonight, and I'm going to plug my link in the chat room because I'm going to be announcing a lot of new ideas and themes and contests and bonus giveaways that we're going to be featuring on my Living by Design radio show. And there's also going to be a special surprise for everyone who comes in the chat room tonight. And I won't go any further into that, but just come
to the
chat room.
What time is your show?
My show is, and I'm going ahead putting the link in the chat room, but my show, and I'm going to put that in the chat room as well, it's 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's an hour-long show. It's a 60-minute show, so it's not a lot of your time to, take away from your schedule. So it's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's a 60-minute show, and I think you will be very, very pleased. So God bless you all, and I want the very best for you. And if you come to the show tonight, I'm going to be able to tell you a lot of special ideas and surprises that I have for you to create your toolkit for 2010.
Good. Hodge, would you give your contact information, please?
Yes. It's Brand Camp, brandcampu.com. And also you can find me on Facebook. You can go to Facebook, Facebook.com, and just my name, HAJJFLEMINGS.
Spell that again. I'm sorry. I didn't get it.
Okay, it's HAJJFLEMINGS.
Great. Thank you, Cheryl.
Yes, and you can reach me at www.cherylbroussard.com, cherylbroussard.com. I'm also Twitter, and I'm also on Facebook as well.
Excellent.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Oh, this was, if I may brag a little, this was a fantastic show. I want to thank the listeners for asking me for more of what they had last week. And I want you to keep your requests coming in to me. Anything that you want, ask me to locate that for you, because I'm here to serve you. I'm here to add value to your growth and expansion. And I want to, we still have 9 minutes remaining, so you all did good on sharing your information. So just in case somebody have a little question they want to ask, they can still call in. But I want to let you know that by maybe in another 2 weeks, we'll have all the information pertaining to the Vision Conference. The one thing I already know is the date. The date will be April the 22nd through the 25th. We are having a phenomenal lineup of entrepreneurial experts to share with you and to help you grow there. So keep watching Facebook, keep watching Twitter, and keep watching my website at www.clarkhudson.com. I want to ask people to just, once you do Google, you see all the other stuff that I'm involved in. I want for you to support and encourage me. And for my show, please go to my show page, blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson, and sign up for my show. Mark it as a favorite, and you will be kept informed of all the happenings that are taking place. Now, with 7 minutes remaining, 3 is for my closing music, and I want to, again, give my experts an opportunity for a closing thought.
Well, I just want to make the closing thought that I know we have really thrown a lot of information out there, and maybe it's, you know, a little bit much to digest, but please, please take advantage of the download opportunity. Blog Talk Radio is a fabulous network. It's a fabulous opportunity for people to, if you can't listen live, you can always go back and listen to the download. So please download this show today. Listen to it in your leisure. Go back and listen to other pieces over and over again. If you need clarification, of course, you know you can email Daphne or any one of us on the panel.
That's right. Thank you, Kathy. Hodge, you know you're the sandwich. You got to go in the middle.
Again, I think we had a great show. I think, you know, going back and listening, just as you'd already mentioned, to be able to get some more of the nuggets that we talked about. And again, we need to network with each other. We need to be able to let each other know what we're doing. And so even in your own network, don't be scared to be able to feature someone else, to be able to talk about what someone else does. I think, you know, when you do that, it just opens up for other people to want to share what you do. And I think that's important.
Exactly. Right. Thank you. Cheryl?
I would say that people really need to continue to learn and to educate themselves on everything that's going out there pertaining to business and finances. You know, we no longer can stick our heads in the sand about our money. If our money isn't right, then we need to make it right. We need to figure out, you know, what to do and learn. And, you know, there's so much information that's out there. There's no reason why we don't understand something. And if you don't understand, then talk to somebody who knows what they're doing and get help. You know, get help.
Yes.
It's okay to say, I need assistance.
Exactly, exactly. You know, get yourself a coach, because there are no growth unless you invest in yourself. You can't
Absolutely.
Be hidden. You cannot be a lone ranger. There are coaches out there who will work with you. They work with you on the phone. They will work with you on the web. Invest in you. Make a commitment when you budget, when you write up the grocery list. Write on it that you're going to stop at the bookstore. You're going to buy a book. Yes, I know you can go and sit in the cafe and you can read the book, but I want you to start building your library where you can go back and do the research. So start investing in you and who you are. I want to thank each of my experts for coming on today and just outdoing yourselves. I am so proud to call each of you friend. I am so proud to call each of you family. And I'm here for you. My commitment to adding value to whatever you do, I am here for you. Let me know how I can help. Let me know how I can add value. I'm only a tweet away. I'm only an email away. And I'm only a phone call away. I love each and every one of you very much. And I pray for God's continuous blessing and success on all the things that you do. And for you, my listeners, I would not have a show without you. Thank you for stopping in the chat room, on the telephone, and for those of you who are just listening on your computers and couldn't call in. Remember that you should not settle for mediocrity, because you are created for excellence. Go out, live your dreams, find your vision, and soar to the top. And next year, this year, at the end, I want for you to come back and give us a testimony on what this show has done for you. I love each and every one of you, and follow your destiny.
What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Showing me
show me
to my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this name. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
Senior Center, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Judy.
Yes.
Oh, it's Daphne Clark Hudson. Is Lorraine available, please?
I don't. Hold on a second. Let me check.
All right. Mm-hmm.